defense, and Aaron Rodgers faces the blitz by Harrison Smith, gets away from it, but then he's buried back at the 41-yard line by Sharif Floyd. 9-yard loss, that's a sack for Sharif Floyd.
Welcome back to another edition of Everything Purple. I am your host, Mike Wobshaw from the Vikings Entertainment Network, here to be your guide on a tour of some of the highlights that the Vikings Entertainment Network provided in terms of Vikings coverage over the past week. Unfortunately, not very many highlights from the Vikings-Packers game last Thursday night. That Sharif Floyd sack you heard at the beginning of the show was one of them. Another guy who's been producing Vikings highlights for a long time is E.J. Henderson, former Vikings linebacker. He is now the Vikings youth football manager, and he was a guest on my weekly podcast earlier in the week. Take a listen. Welcome back to another edition of the Wobcast. I'm your host, Mike Wobshaw, coming to you from Xfinity Studios at Winter Park, where we are joined by our guest today. It's former Vikings linebacker E.J. Henderson. Vikings fans listening remember E.J., number 56, playing linebacker for the Vikings for a long time, but E.J. is still a member of the Vikings family, but an actual member of the family. He's working inside the building. He's our youth football manager, and he joins us on today's Wobcast. What's up, E.J.?
What's going on? Thanks for having me.
Yeah, no problem. I joked when on your first day on the job, I joked on Twitter that I can't wait to pull my first office prank on E.J. because he's not a player anymore, so he can't retaliate. And if he retaliates, we're going to have an HR problem. But I haven't had the nerve to pull one off yet.
I haven't seen anything yet. I'll keep my eye out. I don't know if that's a game you want to start,
no,
though, brother.
I don't. I'm way too scared. You spent way too much time in locker rooms.
Exactly.
I think you probably know quite a few pranks you could pull on us if we started that game.
No doubt.
How's life on the job so far?
Everything's going good, man. Everything's going good. I can't complain. In the community, a little in the office time, you know, mm-hmm. reaching out to different people. Chance to meet a lot of different kids at practices. I've been making some tours, going to different practices in the community. So it's been great.
You, as a player, you have to go to meetings. As a regular employee like us, you got to go to meetings too.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it's fun, sometimes it's not. Sometimes we have meetings just to have meetings. Sometimes we have meetings to set up other meetings.
No comment. As a new employee, I won't make a comment on that.
Yeah, you're smart. You're already like a veteran. Yeah. Youth football has been an emphasis of the Vikings, but even more so now with you on board. What are a couple of things early on that you've been working on? What are some of your points of emphasis in your first few days, first few weeks on the job?
Yeah, so we definitely want to continue to, you know, work on some of the initiatives that, you know, the team has put together before this. So the Vikings of Tomorrow program, which mm-hmm. runs Saturdays at home games. We added a health and safety initiative to that program, which has been going great. They have the Heart of a Viking, so they have those winners. But we're adding some new initiatives. We want to keep growing with that. One of the biggest ones that we have is the Community Captain Award, yep. which is going to recognize varsity football players who's doing great things, not only on the field, but in the classroom, in the community also. So those are two big initiatives that we're starting. We definitely want to get to the greater Minnesota area while continuing to support the Twin Cities. We want to give some towns and some communities that the opportunity to get that Vikings experience that normally don't get the chance.
Yeah, you know, we players on Tuesdays, it's Players Day Off, so they like to get out and do things in the community, but players can't necessarily get out to greater Minnesota, and so that's kind of what a lot of your programming is going to start to focus on, is connecting with those people, right?
No question. Day to day, I have a lot of time to be able to, you know, make those calls and then make some of those trips, make those tours, as I'm gonna start calling them to those, you know, nooks and crannies in greater Minnesota.
Yeah, and as a professional franchise in the state, the Vikings feel a responsibility to kind of be the ambassadors of football in this state and reach out to other levels.
No question, as they should. I mean, it's great fans everywhere in the state, diehard fans, you know, yeah. and you see that in some of the initiatives that we go to, the Arctic Blast, which is usually, you know, in greater Minnesota,
yep.
you can see the diehard fans that, you know, that live, dive, and breathe, you know, the purple and gold.
A lot of the awards that we hand out, like if it's the Coach of the Week or Community Captain or whatever it might be, associated with those awards is not just like a game ball and a trophy and a presentation, but it's also sometimes a donation.
No doubt.
And that's a key part of this, too, is for some of these programs to get some funds to take care of what would be, you would think would be basic things, right?
Yeah, no question. And that goes right along with the ATC grant that the Vikings sponsored when they partnered with Minneapolis and St. Paul Public Schools to provide athletic trainers for each school. So that was a big donation from the Vikings. But even the community captain, we're going to give $1,000 to that school to use as a community initiative. So whether the initiative is for the school, which might be for equipment, cleats or whatever, or it could be they want to partner and do something in their community for another organization.
You grew up in Maryland, right?
I did, yeah.
Okay, so what was, you know, the youth program, youth football program there compared to what you're seeing here? Can you compare and contrast a little bit?
I mean, you know, Park and Recs, we had a Park and Recreation. They're pretty similar around the country. I know Pop Warner is big in some states. We're working on trying to get Pop Warner back in Minnesota. But the rec leagues are the rec leagues. You know, young kids coming out, spending their time after school, coming out, working hard, staying in shape, and then coming out and competing on Saturdays.
Yeah.
It's about friendships. It's about competing as usual, but having fun and you know, getting to learn what the game of football is all about.
Yeah, and teaching proper technique, too, and safety, because safety has become such a big issue for the NFL with head injuries and all that. And if you can start creating good habits and teaching coaches how to teach proper technique at that level, it's going to help the game long term.
No question. That was one of our goals, and one of my initiatives coming in was to add that health and safety and safe tackling component to pretty much every initiative and program that we do. It can start at the grassroots, like you said, build its way up, and then we'll have a whole new culture once those kids get to be at that age.
The Turkey Bowl. Tell us about that.
The Turkey Bowl, we're going to host it November 12th. We've partnered with J.D. Pride, who's been hosting these type of bowl games for years in the community. So we're going to have a team from Greater Minnesota, hopefully one of their all-star teams, and a team from the Twin Cities, a all-star team. And we're going to have them come together at TCF to play in a postseason Vikings Turkey Bowl type game.
That's pretty cool. I heard you explaining in one of our meetings that we were in the women's event that you have coming up that you've been a part of organizing and some of the cool aspects of that.
No doubt. So November 9th, I've partnered with Tammy from the Minnesota Vikings cheerleaders, and we're going to host the first Vikings women's mini camp that'll be hosted right here at Winter Park. It'll be a station style event. And we'll open registration soon. We're going to have some registration for season ticket holders, and we'll have some registration for the general public. But it'll be a great event. We'll have some alumni members, some current players out there, which we'll let the public know very soon. Rick Spielman will be there to give a state of the game. We'll have Coach George Stewart, the wide receivers coach, talking to some X's and O's. So it should be a fun event.
Coach Stewart's got that deep voice.
He definitely will be a good presenter.
Yeah, that's right. I can't let you go without talking about some football. What have you thought about our start to the season? I mean, it's a 2-3 start, so you're sub 500, which no one likes. But I think if you look at the Vikings schedule before the season started, a lot of people would have thought 2-3. So when you look in and assess what the team has done on the field, and when you think about it from your perspective when you were a player, if you were sitting here at 2-3, what's the team's mindset here going into week 6 as we prepare for the Detroit Lions?
A lot of positives. Like you said, fast start, even including the preseason. A lot of people like to discount that. I know it doesn't count much, but it showed the type of team that we can be, and I think that we will be in the near future. So don't hang your head on that 2-3 record. You know, the guys, especially the veterans in the locker room, I'm sure they're preaching that message, trying to preach the positives while working on the negatives. I think will be the big message, and it'll be up to those veterans, not just the coaches, to keep that train in the right direction.
I remember in 2008 when we won the division. I was here, so I say we, but you actually got the job done.
We
won the division in 2008. We started 0-2 that season, if you remember, and you know you're able to bounce back. It's a long season, and it's hard to have the perspective of each game is 1/16 of the season, but that's really kind of the mindset you have to take.
It really is, because one game, it takes so much, you know, and it ultimately means so much, and you feel that after the game, whether it's a win or a loss. Granted, guys recover faster from wins and losses and really get over wins, but you can definitely feel either the excitement or the letdown from putting all that energy, all the hard work into that 1/16 of the season.
Yeah. Anthony Barr, rookie linebacker, you have an eye for the linebacker position, given that you played it. What have you thought about him so far?
A very athletic, big guy was, you know, one of the first things I noticed. You know, very explosive, will hit you, and I've definitely noticed that. He's a hard hitter, which I appreciate. But I think he has a very bright future. Seems like a bright kid. Always has a smile on his face when I met him a couple different times. So I think the future is very bright for him.
One more quick one. Jasper Brinkley is playing the position you played, generally speaking, not necessarily in this scheme, but, you know, Mike linebacker. Mm-hmm. And he actually stepped in for you when you were injured once or twice. What do you think he brings to the table as a middle linebacker?
Well, I think he's definitely taken on a veteran role as his team when he came back from Arizona. As to before, he was more of a younger guy, you know, looking up to the older guys. So definitely I've noticed that more of a leadership role, which is big in a locker room full of young guys. But he's definitely seems more responsible with his reads. He's more apt to making plays because he's taking more chances because he's more comfortable.
Yep.
So I've been impressed with him, but most impressed with his leadership ability.
Is it hard for you to watch games, or do you like watching games?
I like watching games, especially watching the guys that I know. Mm-hmm. I watched Kev last night playing with the Seahawks.
Oh,
so
yeah.
I definitely watch watching games where I have players I know.
Yeah, yeah. Hopefully we can get number 52 back on the field. I made the comment to you the first game he missed, first time in my career here with the Vikings that there wasn't a Henderson or a Greenway in the game.
Yeah, that was tough to see Chad out there. That was something I haven't seen. So,
yeah.
Get him back out there soon. That was a heck of a record, heck of a streak he held up for a while.
Start a new one.
Yeah, start a new one. Get him back out there soon.
Well, I had Victor saran wrap the doorway to your office and cover everything in your office in aluminum foil during this interview.
That's why you got me down here. Okay.
Thanks for joining us, man.
No problem. Appreciate you having me.
Yep. Fun to have EJ Henderson still a part of the team, still going to be able to make a difference for the Vikings and the Minnesota community. We're running up against a break, but first let's pay some bills and promote some cool content coming up. Join host Mike Mussman along with Vikings center John Sullivan for Vikings Country this Thursday at 6 p.m. at Poor Richards in Bloomington. You could win great Vikings prizes, including a trip to the Miller Lite Touchdown in the Tropics in Cancun. Visit Vikings.com/Vikings Country for more information. Please stay tuned, because when we come back, you're going to hear from Jarek the Jet McKinnon, plus the background to Vikings offensive lineman Vladimir Dukas. That and much more coming up after this.
Right behind him, the tailback, Jarek McKinnon. And the rookie gets the call with room up the middle. He sprints to the 10, to the 15, cuts it out to the 25, to the 30, shakes the tackle at the 35, stutter steps at the 40, angles to the right at the 50, stays on his feet at the 40! Look at Jarek McKinnon fly! A 55-yard run, by far the longest of his career.
Jarek McKinnon, one of the more exciting Vikings on this young season through the first five games. And speaking of excitement, the excitement is building for the new Viking Stadium in 2016. It's a new home for your Minnesota Vikings, a new beginning, and new opportunities for our fans. Start your Vikings legacy today by visiting Vikings.com/legacy. Another Viking who is beginning his own legacy is, in fact, Jarek McKinnon. He was a guest last week on Vikings Game Plan, where he discussed with Paul Allen how he got his nickname, plus more.
Welcome back to Vikings Game Plan. It is the Xfinity Player Breakdown, and we are breaking down a speedy one today. His name is Jarek McKinnon. He was born in Atlanta, correct?
Yes, sir.
High school football in Marietta, Georgia, correct?
Yes, sir.
And college football at Georgia Southern, correct?
That's right.
So how much fun did you have trash-talking your Atlanta Falcon friends after you went for 135 in Sunday's game?
It was pretty good, but I didn't really trash-talk. A lot of people back home had great support base, but unfortunately they weren't going for the Falcons, but it's all good.
The 135-yard performance you had in the victory over Atlanta, how did it come so easily for you?
Just a whole team unit, just working together. The whole O-line played really well. Teddy played phenomenal. Receiving corps played phenomenal, and then it was all meshing together. I was just fortunate enough to make a play.
Excellent blocking down the field, too, by the receivers, right?
Definitely, the whole game.
Now, on that 55-yard run, nearing the end of the run, Cordero Patterson's right in front of you. You had the option to go left to the sidelines, but you decided to cut right. What made you decide to go right?
I was kind of toying with the block, and true front. I was hoping that he was going to stay to the left, but stayed to the right instead. And seen 71 coming across, so I cut it back, and was able to make a play. But if I had to go back, I'd probably take a step to the right and keep it to the left, and try to take it from there.
It was a brilliant run, as you just saw. And at the end of the run, when you knew it was over, after you had zigged and zagged and cut and everything, you were the one that delivered the hit at the end of the run, just to kind of cap it, right?
Yes, sir. Just trying to finish strong. I'm not really a big guy, but try to, pose my will on defenders whenever I can.
Do you have a nickname?
Jet.
It's Jet.
Yes, sir.
Jerick the Jet McKinnon.
That's right.
How'd you get that?
It all started at school at Georgia Southern. I really couldn't find a niche or a position that I could start at because I had some older guys in front of me. And, I just always ran really fast. And I guess it just developed and kind of liked the ring to it. So it kind of stuck with me.
Back in high school, did you really have a 316-yard rushing game as a quarterback in a playoff game?
Yeah, I did.
316 yards, how do you do that in one game?
They didn't want to take the quarterback, so I kept it.
And from your days at Georgia Southern, from playing quarterback, running back, wide receiver, and defensive back, you're a running back now in the NFL for the Minnesota Vikings. Out of college, or maybe during college, did you have a favorite position, and if so, why?
In college, our quarterback's pretty much just a running back as well, with doing some different things. But I'd probably just say anytime that I had a chance to run the ball or, impact the game or, have a chance to be that X factor, I'd probably say that was probably the best part.
Jerick the Jet McKinnon, last one. What do you like most about being a member of the Minnesota Vikings?
Just coming to work every day with, a great group of guys. There's a lot of funny guys on the team. A lot of characters, so they make it enjoyable and stuff like that. So I'd probably say that's the best part.
From a Vikie in his rookie season, Jerick McKinnon, to one in his first season, an NFL veteran but a first-year Viking, here's the backstory of Vladimir Dukas, who was featured in a recent episode of Vikings Beyond the Gridiron.
The Vikings roster features players from all over the country, a wide mixture from each region and every corner. But one of the 53 members on the team took a much longer path to get to Minnesota.
I grew up in Port-au-Prince, Haiti, been there for most of my life, about 14 years. Growing up, it was nice, The weather was always nice, and every weekend we used to always hang out on the beach, after school. So it was very nice.
Port-au-Prince, Haiti isn't known for its football. It's an area known for its weather, beaches, and culture. But it's where the journey began for guard Vladimir Dukas. Growing up in a poverty-stricken area was hard, but it was an early tragedy in life that was even harder to overcome.
It was like 1 minute she was there and she was gone. So it wasn't one of the things I really understood at the time. But later on in life, as I was growing up, and it kind of like, started thinking back, it was like, yeah, I really do miss her. I wish, she was there for, certain parts of my life.
Losing his mom at age 5 was a tough hurdle for Vladimir and his family to overcome. Still reeling from her loss and the countless day-to-day struggles trying to make ends meet, the family decided to move to Connecticut when he was 14. It was there that he got introduced to a new sport that he fell in love with.
Well, my first sport was really basketball, and I tried for the basketball team, didn't make it. I was like, might as well go back and focus, schoolwork. Then that's why I met my high school coach. He was the head coach at the time, Kevin Jones. And he was like, yeah, you should, come out and try out and give it a shot. And it's like, and a couple of my teammates, and they'll see me walk in the hallway. I was like, man, you should definitely come out. Then Angel just came out one day and just from there, just took off.
With no experience in the sport, his game took time to develop and led to very little attention from colleges. But there was one school who saw his potential, the University of Massachusetts.
UMass was more like, we like the kid, let's throw him out there and let him. And that's what I learned, let him learn from his mistake. And that's what they did. They just threw me out there in the fire and I had to figure it out. But they were still there to coach me through it.
Seeing his game grow with unlimited potential, the New York Jets drafted Vladimir in the second round of the 2010 draft, just 6 years after he first learned the game.
For my senior year, the status on me was like probably free agent until like second round draft pick at the end. It was like, wow, you know, I thank God every day for that, you know, experience.
But while he was celebrating the start of a new career, there was a tragedy unfolding in his hometown. The 2010 earthquake in Haiti killed over 100,000 and left Vladimir thinking of those back home.
You know, you can't even explain it. You just wake up one morning and it's like, and I got my agent sitting next to me asking me if I'm okay. I got people texting me all night, are you okay? And I didn't know what was going on. And it's like, turn on the TV one morning and it was like on the news. Every time it's like they'll show it on TV, I kind of like, you know, switch the channel because one of those things for me is like when I'm watching it, you see all those people, you know, they were under those houses, and it's one of those things like all you can do is pray.
While his hometown recovered from the disaster, Vladimir was starting his rookie season, and after 4 years in New York, he signed with the Vikings and is now the starting right guard on the offensive line.
Toward the end, you know, my fourth year, it sounded like I started getting it going on, and it's like, and coming here, it's like being with like all the older veteran guy and being a veteran now, it's like, you know, it's more comfortable for me now.
His addition this offseason has paid big dividends as he brings a veteran presence and is counted on heavily with the Brandon Fusco season-ending injury. His experience playing the game of football pales in comparison to some of his teammates who've been playing since grade school, but he's never let that stop him. The twist of fate that brought Vladimir Ducos to the United States and introduced him to the game has changed his life and made a city 2,000 miles away very proud.
I feel blessed, you know, every day I feel blessed. Just being here, I just feel, you know, feel blessed. And it's like, and not everybody, and especially as a Haitian player, there's not a lot of us in the NFL, but the ones that are in the NFL, we make it count.
That'll do it for tonight's show. We thank you for listening. On behalf of producer Grant Ridpath, I'm your host, Mike Wabshaw. We'll see you next week for another edition of Everything Purple. We wish you a good night and leave you on a good note.
Atlanta rushes forward. Teddy looking left, flushed out to the left, opting to run to the 15. Teddy to the 10, to the 5, dives for the end zone. Touchdown, Teddy! It's his first National Football League touchdown. Teddy Bridgewater runs the Minnesota Vikings to a 2014 lead. He and Jarius Wright have been great today, and it was Jarius Wright who gave the rookie a brilliant block to get him in.